even in the sound booth, Noah Lindsay and Seth Ball are up there making everything happen with the sound. And so just want to thank them for their hard work again. What a blessing it is to have kids who are in the process of maturing and growing. And you know, I know that as a parent, you look up and you see your own kid or you see kids, and it's like, wow, you know, they can actually do this stuff now. And it's great to see our kids in our church growing and maturing and serving. And I'm so proud of that and Brad and the work that he's doing there. Just wanted to continue in our message series today about faithfulness. I want to ask you a question. You ever feel spiritually tired, spiritually weak, spiritually worn out? There's a temptation that you just can't stand up under anymore. There's something that you just don't have what it takes. You just don't feel like getting into God's Word in the Bible. And you just don't, you know, maybe there's a situation in your life and you know what the right thing to do is, but you just don't have the strength to do the right thing. You just want to do what comes easy. You ever feel that way sometimes? I think we all do at times. And so today we're talking about having faith when we're feeling weak. And we're going to look at the life of Samson. And it's sort of an obscure little story here in the Old Testament, the book of Judges. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Judges. But Samson is listed here just by his name as someone who was recognized in this book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32, where we're looking at the who's who of faithfulness in the Bible. And when I ran across the name Samson, faithfulness really isn't what comes to mind. And I have to ask my question, why did God include Samson in this account of faithfulness? Because everything I know about Samson, what? Has to do with his what? His hair, right? And that you know, lady Delilah that came and shaved his head and he lost all of his power. Now that's really what I recall about Samson and the first thing I think about. And to me, that doesn't evoke faithfulness, okay? But we're going to see how God can use even us in our weak times. And we'll look at Samson's life here this morning and some things that made him weak. And some things that we can avoid to keep us strong in our faith so that we don't go through these times, or that when we have these times of weakness where we know what we need to do but we're just not motivated to do it, or there's a sin that is plaguing you and you're tired of giving into it all the time, how do you have the strength? What are the things that you can avoid in your life that cause the weaknesses in your life? And that's what we're going to look at, because Samson really gives us a great picture of some things to avoid, yet God was still able to call him faithful. So, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and we're going to read out of the book of Judges, and that's in the Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, so you're in that area. So we're in Judges. And we're going to start in chapter 13 of Judges, and see how this story begins and how Samson is brought about. Because it starts off good. It starts off really good. It starts off how you and I sometimes start off our Christian life. If you are a believer and if you've made that statement of faith and you're a Christian in here this morning, you start off at a point where you're all sold out for God. You realize the point in your life where you need Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, and you're excited and you start off good. And this is where Samson is. But sometimes we wane a little bit in our commitment to God. But let's listen to how Samson started off. So in Judges chapter 13, we'll just start in the first verse here. And the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Here we have the Israelites in this constant cycle. And maybe you can identify, they're right with the Lord. And then with the Lord is blessing them, things are good, and they think, well, I don't need God after all. And they start to go off course a little bit, and then the Lord has to give him judgment, judges here. And here we go, they're delivered to the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. It says, a certain man from Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, yet you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or any other fermented drink, that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin to the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And then there's a little bit more in there, but go down and skip all the way to verse 24. It says this in chapter 13, verse 24. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, how do we go from Samson going from the state of being blessed by God, being set apart specifically for God's use to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, how does he go from that point all the way to the point where we find him where he loses all of his power because he gets his hair cut? Now, a lot of times we think, well, his power was in his hair. But the power was really not in his hair. Was the question we have to ask, was the power that Samson had, the strength that he had, is it in his hair or was it in his commitment that he had growing up? Well, it wasn't his hair. His hair was only symbolic of his commitment that he had toward God. And when he broke his commitment to God, and we see this over and over in his life, when he breaks his commitment, he loses his strength. Yet God wants to use Samson. And you know, I think of our lives. I think there's so many times that God has a plan for each one of us, and he wants to use us. But sometimes we break our commitments. And when we break our commitments, it weakens us. And it weakens us to the point where we fall into temptation and we fall into sin. And we've all seen it. We've all experienced it. And we know what happens. Well, let's look at three ways we lose our strength by forgetting our commitment to God. When we choose to do what we want to do or what the flesh tells us to do over what we know God commands us to do, we begin to lose our spiritual strength. In the first place, Samson began to lose his strength was in his loss of self-control. Samson lived a life of self-indulgent. I'm talking about he had an undisciplined life as he grew. He started off committed to God, but as he began to grow, he began to live this life that was undisciplined. Now, we all have our areas of indulgence in life, don't we? And sometimes we joke about them, and sometimes they're harmless. Like we joke about sometimes this can happen to both men and women, but it generally happens to women, that nothing cures a bad day like what? Retail therapy, right? Yeah. Going out of shopping. That was the second one. You hit the nail on the head. Chocolate, you know, oh man, I need to end this day with a nice big, you know, something chocolate. Guys, you know, and girls, again, not gender specific, but mostly with guys here. You know, we like to sort of erase erase the worries of the day and indulge with some sports center and some watching some good basketball or baseball or football or whatever it is. And we have these little indulgences, and in and of themselves, they're not bad. You fill in the blank to whatever your indulgence is, but left unchecked, any indulgence can destroy you. And it can weaken you. And this is what was happening to Samson. Left unchecked, shopping therapy, retail therapy, can lead to massive amounts of debt in a bad situation there. Left unchecked, you know, one brownie with a scoop of ice cream is all right, but, you know, when you're hitting the ice cream bowl and the whole plate of brownies, it's going to lead to some negative consequences in your life, isn't it? Left unchecked, whatever it is that you're pouring your life into. I had a friend of mine whose life was centered around sports center and sports. Eventually, his wife left him, not solely because of sports center, but because she got tired of being second place to everything else that he put ahead of her. And I want to tell you, sports center and playing golf and going out and watching sports was a very important thing in his life. And it destroyed his marriage. See, left unchecked, these things can destroy us. And you've seen it. You can put anything of that self-indulgence that in and of itself may not be bad, or it may be bad, but left unchecked will destroy you and it will weaken you. Well, that's what began to happen to Samson. It was no secret that one of his indulgences was women. There were three in the story of the chapter, and it destroyed him. Matter of fact, if we go ahead and read, let's look at this, and it's in the book of Judges, and we are in verse 14, where he sees a Philistine that he wants to marry. And so he says, he saw there a young Philistine in chapter 1 of verse 14, and he returned to his father and mother and said, I have seen the Philistine woman in Timnah. Now go get her for me as my wife. Now there are other versions that put it, he saw what he saw pleased him. So basically, he was going against what God wanted him to do. Now he was set apart to be an Israelite, chosen for God's purpose. One of the rules that he was to follow was he was not to marry outside of his faith. He was not to marry an unbeliever. That was part of the Nazarite oath that he had to take. Yet what does he do? Not only does he look for someone outside of his faith or of his heritage, what does he do? He goes to the enemy, the people who have him captive. And his parents plead with him and say, isn't there somebody that is part of our faith, a relative somebody? He says, no, I want this woman because it pleases me, is how it says it. In the King James, it pleases me. See, he was looking at something that was a self-centered, a self-indulgent way. And so he takes this wife, and he takes this wife, and he breaks a commitment with God. And it slowly begins to weaken. He went ahead with what he wanted, not with what God expected. You know, in our life, there are many times that you and I choose to do things outside of the will of God. And when we do that, it weakens us. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. It says, if we're going out and we're planting seeds in our life from sinful nature, that's what we're going to reap. Destruction. Proverbs 25:20 says, anyone who lacks self-control is like a city whose walls are broken down. See, when you and I give in, when we lose self-control, when we do whatever we please rather than what we know is the truth of God, it's like having a city whose walls are broken down. And when a city's walls are broken down, the enemy can come in and attack at any time by any means. And we're setting our life up for failure. Let me ask you this question. Are you feeling spiritually weak? Is there something that you know God's calling you to do, but you just don't feel like doing it? Are you having trouble getting into His Word because you just lack the strength to do it? Or there are relationships that are broken that you need to go and make right because that's what God commands us, but you just don't care anymore? I want you to look, if that describes some of you or some of the things in your life, I want you to ask this question. What is it that you're giving into that is breaking your commitment to God? See, that's what we have to look at. See, the reason why Samson went from being set apart to God is because, one, he lost all self-control. He lived his life to please him, and he gave in to his self-indulgence, and it weakened him spiritually. The second thing that began to happen to Samson was he had a loss of temper. Another way we see Samson beginning to lose and slide and forget about his commitment is his hot-headedness. He lived with angry. He lived bitter. He was always out to get revenge. Let's go back to Judges, and we're back in chapter 15 now. There's a lot that we're skipping over here that you need to go back and read on your own. Chapter 14 ends actually with one of the premier accounts of Samson's anger, where he beats up a bunch of guys for their clothes, basically. But then it goes on to 15, and there's something happens here that really begins to anger Samson. Now here's what happens. Samson goes to get his wife. But because of everything that had happened in the previous chapter and the anger that he displayed, his father-in-law says, no, you're not coming near my daughter. And he gets angry. He gets mad because he's not allowed to go with his wife. And this is what he does. And if you read this, it's in there in chapter 15 here. He gets a bunch of foxes. And he decides he's going to get these foxes. He catches them. And man, this must have taken a lot of effort. He must have been really mad if he was going to go around and gather up all these foxes. I tried to catch a squirrel once in my backyard. It didn't work out too well. But he got foxes. And he tied their tails together. And then he lit a torch to them and tied a torch to them and put them through the Philistines' crops because it was about harvest time. And because, one, he was angry at his father-in-law, he burned all the Philistines' crops. And so what does it say here in verse 15? Samson said, "This time I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them." And so he catches these 300 foxes and he does this. Well, this only sets the stage for some more childish behavior, which has major consequences in his life. Because the Philistines really get angry at him, and what do? They decide they're going to get him where he hurts. So they go, they get his father-in-law, and they get his wife, and they kill him. This is some gruesome stuff. This is anger. Anger does not bring about things that are pleasing to God. Now, how often do we find ourselves in these type of situations? Someone harms me, so what do you want to do? You're going to get them back. That's right. You're going to teach them a lesson, and you're going to hurt them. But who is hurt in this situation? Everybody else around. Everyone else around. You see, sometimes we get in our life, and we get angry. And instead of turning to God, and instead of having an attitude of forgiveness and reconciliation, we want an attitude of revenge. And this is what happened to Samson. And it began to weaken him. And it began to weaken him. So this exchange goes back and forth. He says this in verse 11. He says, "Hey, I merely did to them what they did to me." Oh, we can all justify it, right? Someone else doing something wrong to you obviously makes it okay for you to hurt them back. Can you see how childish and how arrogant that Samson had become? But then something happens that I don't quite understand. Because finally, this exchange goes back and forth, and Samson is captured. Samson is captured. And you think, oh, this guy's going to earn his, you know, he's going to get what he deserves right here. But God rescues him. It says they tied him, but the spirit came upon Samson, and it says like the binds that were holding him sort of disintegrated like burnt chaff and burnt rope that had come off of him. And then he finds a jawbone of the donkey, and then he kills a bunch of people who are out to get him. And then he goes to the point, and we pick up the story here. And it says, "I have killed 1,000 men." It says this in verse 17 of chapter 15. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth-Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You must have given you have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up a hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he was revived. So the spring was called En Hakkor, and is still there in Lehi. And I think about this: why would God rescue Samson? God rescued Samson. Just the reason why he rescues you and me. Because God had a plan for Samson. God's plan for Samson was to begin the deliverance of the Israelites from the Philistines. And God needed Samson. God set him up. And even though Samson was defying God at many fronts, God still wanted to use him, and God still reconciled with him. And when we come to remember the times in our lives where we have to seek forgiveness, sometimes I ask myself, God, why would you forgive me? God, why would you send Jesus Christ to die for me? Why does God want to have a relationship with me? Because he loves me, and he has a plan for my life. And he has a plan for your life. And so he gives us patience and time. You know, I recall a verse from the book of Romans. And it's in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where Paul asks a question. And I think this is what was happening with Samson in his life. I look at this and say, how could God still bless Samson, even though he was doing wrong? You see, sometimes God still blesses us even when we do wrong because He wants those blessings to turn us to repentance. Sometimes we must take God's blessings in our lives as stamps of approval from God. But what we learn here in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where it says this, it says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" By this question, I learn that the blessings in my life may not necessarily be a stamp of approval from God, but a way for God to try to get through me to change, to follow Him, and to go towards Him. And this is, I believe, what was happening in Samson's life. Samson had fallen. He had started giving in because he was giving in to his lust. He lost self-control. He was giving in to his short temper there, and he was getting angry. But God was still patient with him. He was still showing him kindness and tolerance and patience. Is God showing you kindness and tolerance and patience this morning? Does He want you to repent? Here's what happens when you don't follow and heed what God says. And this is what ultimately happened to Samson. He had a loss of integrity. When you look at Samson, he was a very careless person. His strength was a gift from God. It wasn't from himself. And he continually misused it and continually abused it. He was careless. And his power from God came because of his commitment to God that he had made as a young boy. Remember, it had nothing to do with his hair. His hair is only symbolic. But ultimately, when he gave in on all fronts, God lost his patience and judgment came on Samson. And this is where we pick up in the book of Judges, chapter 16, Samson and Delilah. And this is the great barbershop episode here of Samson's life. And Samson's, it starts off, he has another relationship that's not honoring to God in chapter 16. Then he goes on, and in verse 4 of chapter 16, it says this, "Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." Whose name was Delilah. He fell in love. And the rulers of the Philistines took note. And so they went to Delilah and they said, "Okay, Delilah, this guy Samson, he's in love with you. and we want you to tell us and get from him the secret of his strength." Because the Philistines realized that Samson was the enemy and Samson was the only one that could defeat them. And so what does he do? He goes over there and Samson, he falls in love with Delilah. Again, somebody who was not part of God's plan. Someone who was not an Israelite. And she comes up to him and says, "Oh, Samson, please tell me the secrets of your marvelous strength." And Samson's just, he's arrogant at this point. He's just playing a game with her. He's just having fun. And what does he say? He says in verse 7, "Oh, anyone who ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I will become weak as any other man." So what does he happen? So Delilah ties him up and he falls asleep. And then when he wakes up, he breaks out of the ties and he embarrasses Delilah. And so Delilah's getting upset. She goes, "Oh, Samson, you're such a funny guy. You're teasing me. Now really, tell me, what is the secret to your strength?" And so a second time, he says, "Hey, well, you didn't do it right the first time. I forgot to tell you, you have to do it another way." So they don't go through all this again. The Philistines come. They think they're going to see Samson because he released the secret of his strength. But again, you know, he wakes up, fools, you know, the joke's on you guys. He busts out of those binds and here he is, strong as ever. Well, Delilah is really, really getting upset. He says, "You have made a fool of me and I'm getting upset." And I love this, verse 16 of chapter 16. It says this, "With such nagging and prodded him day after day until he was tired to death." So Delilah says, day after day, finally he says, "Okay, I'll do it." But, he goes through these three things. Oh, and before that, he gets a little closer to the truth. He says, hey, if you braid my hair, that's it. He's getting a little closer because he knows it's with the hair. But that still doesn't work. And that's when she comes, and that's when she prods him and nags him. And finally, he says, and he reveals the secret. He says, no razor has ever been used on my head. He says, because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since my birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. And then verse 18 of chapter 16 of Judges. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands, having put him to sleep on her lap. She called a man to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out just like before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. Wow. You see what happened here? There's a powerful statement there where he says this. He did not realize that the Lord had left him. The lesson is this. Nobody ever plans failure. It just comes gradually. No one ever says, I'm going to plan on becoming an alcoholic in my life. No one ever says, hey, I'm going to be a drug addict in my life, but it comes little by little. No one ever says, I'm going to intend to destroy my marriage, but it's little missteps and little mistakes along the way that begin to destroy your strength. Nobody ever sets out and says, you know what, I want to destroy my health. But it starts with not taking care of your body on a daily basis. It happens a little bit at a time, and it builds to the point that some people wake up and have a rude awakening, and all of a sudden they say, what happened? God's not here. What happened? He left a long time ago because they failed to take God seriously. There's Samson, who started off blessed by God, who had everything he ever needed. But he gave in too many times to his own selfish desire. He lacked self-control. He gave in too many times to his anger. And he let bitterness destroy relationships. And he lost his integrity too many times. He says, I know what the right thing to do is, but I'm going to go ahead and do my own thing anyway. And they gouged out his eyes. And he was set in jail to a milling stone. Basically, what he did for days on end was push a big round stone that crushed wheat or crushed some sort of crop so that they could use it. And I look at myself and I look at this thing and I have to ask, why in the world was Samson included in this Hebrews list of great people of faith? Well, that answer comes in verse 22. Because even though Samson had messed up his whole life, God still had a plan for him. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and look down. And look at verse 22. It says, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Remember, his hair is symbolic. You see, I believe that while Samson was in there pushing that big old stone around, crushing up the grain or crushing up the rock, whatever it was he had to crush up, he had a heart-to-heart with God. He had realized that he had got to the bottom of his pit, that he had reached the end of his rope, and somewhere along the line, he says, Father, I am so sorry. Lord, how did I let this happen to my life? And in the moment of despair, his hair began to grow. The following verses tell of his redemption. The Philistines were using him for entertainment, and they said, bring Samson out to this big stage. And all the Philistines were gathered around, and there's this big temple, and on the roof were 1,000 of the leaders of the Philistines. And they said, bring Samson out here so we can make fun of him, and we can celebrate that our God is stronger than the God of the Israelites. That we won this victory. And so what does he do? He's there. They have to lead him out. His eyes are gouged out. He's at the pit in the bottom of his life. He says to him, he says, put me up against that pillar of this building so I can stand. And there he is against the pillar of this building, and he cries out one last prayer. He says, oh Father, Lord, give me the strength to fulfill my purpose in this life. And God gives him the strength, and what does Samson do? He shakes the pillar. God restores his strength because his hair began to grow when he was in that moment, in that jail cell, and he came to a point of his life where he says, I'm ready to turn it around. I'm ready to repent, and I'm ready to be used for your purpose, Lord. And what happens? He knocks down the pillar. The building comes piling down upon the Philistines. Samson dies, but so do the Philistines. And the Israelites are then free from their rule. You know, I look at this story and I look at so many ways that I've messed up my life. But I know that God has a plan for my life and He has a plan for your life. There are two questions that we have to ask today. And the first question is this. Where have I compromised my commitment to God that is weakening my spiritual strength? We have to identify that place that God wants us to change in our life. And then the second question we have to ask, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Are we just going to pretend like, okay, I'll give, you know, God, you're there, and I'll live for you if it's convenient for me? Or are you ready to say, I'm ready to commit to what God's Word says. I'm ready to live my life in accordance with God's will. That's the question we have to ask. See, why was he faithful? Because at some point he realized that he had reached the bottom and that he turned to God. Why was he able to be listed there in Hebrews of the great people of faith? Because even though his whole life he turned from God and did things that displeased God, in that final moment there, he followed and he trusted God. What is God calling you to do and to change, to strengthen your life today? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the story of Samson and what it illustrates in our life. And that you are powerful and that our strength doesn't come from hair or anything else. Our strength comes from you. Our strength is not only, it doesn't come from our own natural abilities or our natural talents, Father, but it comes from you. And right now, Lord, I know that there are things in my life and in the lives of the people who are in this room that's being weakened because of ways and ways that we're not following you. Lord, it is my prayer that we would turn those things over to you right now, today. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. This morning during our invitation time, as during our invitation time, as during our invitation